today, so I decided that we needed a little outside help. So I got Larry the cable guy to inspire us. Okay. I wanted, just before we get to today's business, to cover just a couple of items. One is that today is Frank Almeida's last day of being at the council meeting. This morning he got handed one of the calendars, the pocket calendars, and he goes, "I guess I won't be needing this." And I said, "Well, you got to think out of the box a little bit. You're going to be needing that to put down your golf dates and all the honey-do lists that you're going to have to do while you're sitting around home now." But in all seriousness, I wanted to say on behalf of the council, Frank, thank you for all that you have done to help us over the years. We will certainly miss you, and we wish you all the best in whatever it is that you're going to do. Chris?
Yeah, I also want to thank Frank on behalf of the staff. You've always been cooperative and helped us out any way you could, and you're going to be a hard acting to follow.
Thanks, Frank. I've got little or nothing to say. It's been 39 and a half years, and it's been a good run, and it's time to move on. Thanks, everyone. I started when I was 12, by the way.
The first item on today's agenda are council priorities. I'm going to turn it over to Chris to go through the list of priorities, and then we'll, subsequent to that, we're going to take a public comment and then bring it back to the council for determination.
You will find a list of priorities that has been forwarded to the council by the executive committee for their consideration on document 5 under the correspondence tab number 1. And I will basically go down through the list. These priorities are based on either priorities that were voted on last year that may or may not have been completed by the council in 2011, actions that are required by FMPs, existing FMPs, such as resetting of ABCs, ACLs, through specifications or frameworks, or anticipated actions that will be required to meet ongoing legal issues or as a result of lawsuits. And we'll start with groundfish first. Under groundfish, there are four of these types of priorities. The first, continue, and these aren't in order of any particular prioritization. The first is to continue Amendment 18 to consider fleet diversity and accumulation caps. The second is to coordinate action on the Habitat Omnibus Amendment to include possible modifications to the groundfish closed area. Third, prepare framework action to adjust sector rules based on lessons learned from October 2011 sector workshop. Fourth is to prepare a framework to respond to new assessment information for the 9 stocks that the PDT was not able to adequately do projections on for setting ABCs for 2012-2013. Under monkfish, it's to continue monkfish Amendment 6 for cat shares. Sea scallops, you'll see we have framework 24 to set specifications for 2013 and 2014. Also includes in all of our specifications, we're also setting default measures for the following year in case there's a delayed implementation. So there will be default measures for 2015 included. The framework will also include automatic measures for ABC, ACLs, days at sea, access area allocations for limited access and limited access general category fleets, and the Northern Gulf of Maine TAC. Now, in addition to that, there have been six possible measures or issues that have been identified by the committee and the public as desirable or for council consideration. The executive committee has decided that it's in discussions with the staff that it's really only feasible to add maybe three or four of these types of measures because of the staff work involved. I'll just briefly characterize some of those. There's the leasing for limited access general category, IFQ, in the mid-year. That would be relatively easy in terms of a workload to do. The second one, considering modifications of the Georges Bank access area opening dates, that would be involve some work because we the Scallop PDT would have to look at the seasonality of bycatch in those areas. Number three, to conduct a performance review workshop similar to the lessons learned workshop for sectors. That's not difficult to do, but it is time-consuming. Number four addresses the sub-ACL of yellowtail flounder and potentially divide the sub-ACLs between the limited access and the general category fleets. That would require considerable effort. And that's not to imply when I say they require considerable effort that they shouldn't be done. Number five and six, the executive committee consider that these two possible options should were less important than the previous four. Measures to address the 5% allocation versus the percent of actual catch for the limited access general category. And six, develop AMs for window pane flounder if the groundfish framework 47 implements a sub-ACL. Well, we believe that's now unlikely to happen. But if for some reason that were to happen, then the council would really be required to add Measure 6. Under Herring, we have a continuation of Amendment 5, which we expect to take final council action on in April. And then we have to prepare the specs for 2013 to 2015 based on a new benchmark or research track assessment. Ecosystems management. The council discussed this earlier in September, and the priority under this is to prepare an ecosystems-based fishery management plan, but just phase one, which would establish goals and objectives and establish ecosystem production units throughout the EEZ that we manage. The next priority is the SBRM amendment, prepare a new SBRM amendment with NIMS in the lead, and this is in response to a lawsuit. We'll have a discussion on the scope of that amendment later. However, it's I think I can characterize it that the Fisheries Service has given the council guidance that the amendment would be relatively narrowly focused to deal with the issue of observer funding, the exception to when the coverage levels need to be met, plus some process issues in the amendment. So that's hard to characterize that in terms of workload. It would require joint meetings between our committee that we set up for it and a joint committee with the Mid-Atlantic, but we anticipate that most of the work will be done by the Fisheries Service. Then on the next page, there's a continuation of ongoing actions and activities. First off, continue the Whiting Amendment to set ACLs, AMs, and specifications. Without reference to the timeline, I believe the final action on that amendment is scheduled for April. Habitat, continue the Omnibus Habitat Amendment, and then three other ongoing activities that are mentioned. And there are many other ongoing activities that are not included that the council staff has to be responsible for, but these are to continue the Research Steering Committee and identify cooperative research priorities that fit in line with council needs, support the SSC, and finally continue to support the enforcement, safety, and VMS issues. Those are the priorities that have been forwarded by the Executive Committee. I'm going to look to Rip and ask whether, Rip, do you want me to go through the priorities that are below the line at this point? Okay. And I will try to answer any questions on those priorities at this point.
Questions for Chris? Don't see any. Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In order to move things along, I'm going to make a motion to approve the 2012 priorities as proposed by the Executive Committee.
Is there a second to that motion? Mary Beth? Okay. Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And my reason for doing so is that the Executive Committee has met twice and spent a significant amount of time working with staff to go through these priorities. The council, we've met in September to go over this. The Executive Committee met both before and afterwards. I believe it's a balanced approach. It's going to take care of the new business we need to take care of, take care of the old business we need to take care of. It's a feasible workload for staff. Specific to groundfish, it's consistent with the committee's recommendations. The chair of the groundfish advisory is here with us. It's different than theirs. They put a sense of priority to the priorities, but we didn't move forward with prioritizing the four. We put them all above the line, so you know, perhaps we need to open up for public comment. Mr. Chairman, you can allow Bill to speak.
Thank you. Just so that we're clear on this, the intent is under scallops and the other measures. It would be the recommending 1, 2, 3, and 4. The other two that are below that little line would not be included.
That's correct.
Thank you. I just wanted to make that clear. Okay. I'm going to go to the audience for any comments on this motion. Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Gerenzer. I'm here on behalf of the advisors, and I brought copies, but we actually entertained a motion, and it was discussed, and then it passed unanimously by all the advisors that were there, which I think was 12 at the time. And we recommended priorities in order of importance, and we felt the most important was to prepare a framework to address the new assessment information for 9 stocks. It's largely procedural, but it's required by law. So we gave it the number 1 slot. Number 2 would be to take action to eliminate all or part of the rolling seasonal and year-round mortality closures as appropriate. Number 3 is to develop a cost-effective sector monitoring plan that includes options for electronic monitoring of discards, including full retention policy for allocated stocks, phasing in industry cost share over a 5 to 10 year time frame. 2 and 3 came from several sector managers in their recent letters to the council. Several mentioned these as a way to improve sector operations and protect fleet diversity. The details of monitoring, phase-in cost sharing came from the gap discussion at the motion. In order of importance, 4, develop options to move unused ACE between scallops and groundfish fleets and between groundfish commercial and recreation fleets. This evolved from a discussion of option of an option in framework 47 to move unused yellowtail from the scallop sub ACL to the groundfish fleet. We have 4 more. The 5th was increased rollover percentage, another suggestion made by sector managers in letters to the council. The hope is that it's simple to analyze and simple to implement. Number 6, address the LAGC yellowtail accountability measures. This was on the council list. Number 7, other effort and controls, including minimum fish sizes, also mentioned by sector managers, but likely to be controversial, so the maker of the motion did not want it to be a higher priority than something 2 or 3 or above. And then finally, consider Amendment 18 on accumulation limits and fleet diversity, including refining definition of fleet diversity. First, we make the point that we don't know what fleet diversity is. Then we acknowledge that the council has started this process, so the gap is asking them to proceed. But making the point, like number 7, amendments take some time, and there's quicker bang for the buck along with the lines line two above. In the sector management letters, only one sector says accumulation limits are desirable in the FMP. And that was our list of priorities in order of importance to the advisory panel. And again, at that time, we had 13 members show up. One had left, but of the 12 that were there, we discussed it for quite a while, and the vote was 12-0. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and thank you for all of the work of the advisory panel. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the council. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had some questions. For scallops, number 4 that's listed, address the sub-ACL of yellowtail flounder, is above the line, and then on groundfish it's below the line. So I was just curious about how that was supposed to work, since it would require a joint action. And the other thing on scallops, number 3, a performance review workshop. I was unclear where that originated from. And if anybody had some insight on that, I'd appreciate it.
I'm going to the second question first. The executive committee, in looking at the sector performance workshop, felt since we have an ITQ system and it's a relatively new program, it might be important just to see how that program's performing, and trying to keep in mind some of the recommendations from the Touchstone report. So I think that's basically where that came from, Mary Beth. And in terms of dividing the yellowtail sub ACL, yeah, I guess that it would be predicated on a sub ACL being implemented. So I'm not sure how to answer your question, but that might be an inconsistency. And I'll look to Tom or Deirdre to explain how that might work.
Just to be specific about the scallop priority, the one that's number 4, the reason that doesn't need a joint action with the groundfish plan is that one is just specific to the issue from Framework 23 that we decided to wait on, which was a specific AM potentially for the limited access general category trawl fishery. So that would not require a groundfish action. We can completely develop those AMs within the scallop plan. As to what on the back page, number two, under groundfish, was getting at, I'm not positive, but why that's below the line, but they are different in terms of the one on the first page wouldn't require a joint action.
Thank you for those clarifications. And then I guess one additional question under scallops. We have four items, and it indicates that realistically we may only be able to accomplish three and four. And I think they're not particularly prioritized. So would we suggest that the committee take this list and perhaps go through them and prioritize them as we move forward? I'm just not clear.
Well, I guess my response is, if your preference is to be specific and get them prioritized, you should suggest that. Yeah, I mean, if you have a priority that you think would be best, you can certainly see if you can do a friendly to the motion that's up there, just to be specific.
The reason I ask the question is it is unclear that we can accomplish all four items under scallops. So if that's the case, at what point do we actually prioritize the list? And if you'd like to do that now, we could do that. As far as number three goes and having a workshop, I think addressing the issue is important. I think that we should review the program. However, I wouldn't put a workshop as the first thing on the list to do. The first thing on the list in my mind would be to task the PDT to bring back some information on what the impacts to the general category have been since implementation of Amendment 11, and that would be step number one. And then, you know, the council would at that point decide, you know, do we need a workshop? Right now, we don't have that information, and to me, that would be the starting point. So if I need to make a motion to amend under sea scallops, I would prioritize the list that is currently above the line. Number one, well, that would be confusing. Actually, we would start with number two, number four, number one, and number three would be the reorder of the list. And in that way, if the staff and the committee find that we're not going to be able to accomplish all of the items, that we would address them in that fashion.
Mr. Stockwell.
Is that a motion, Mary Beth? I've got a comment on it after you get a second, Mr. Chair.
Is there a second?
I'm not sure what the motion is. Well.
Mary Beth, is that correct? Okay. Harry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mary Beth, I don't have a problem at all with putting priorities under sea scallops, but the rationale for not putting them under was not to tie the hands of the committee or the AP as you go to work over the course of the year. But if, you know, from your perspective, this makes sense to the committee and the industry, I could be very supportive.
Well, from my perspective, it does, in that I think it's unlikely we're going to accomplish all four items, and I think it's easier to, you know, start at the beginning. You know, what are we going to prioritize as we move forward, so it's clear to the committee and the public.
Did we get a second on that? I don't think so. Okay. And Jim Odlin. Okay. Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The issue that was brought up on, that's listed on below the line for future consideration under Sea Scallops Amendment 17, Session Number 2, was put in because of the problem that existed this last year, particularly several problems, but one in particular for the Southern New England LAGC boats. In Rhode Island, we have a $2 million a year income from the LAGC boats in Point Judith. Now, that doesn't compare with the L.A. boats, but it's still important to the state of Rhode Island, and it's an important fishery for southern New England. And the issues that exist in that fishery right now are, I won't say they're desperate, but they certainly need to be tended to sooner rather than later, particularly when we see what almost happened this last year. So I was not happy to see that below the line. On the other hand, we need more information on exactly how we got into that state. So I was willing to go along with the motion that Terry put up, but now we see that we may only be able to do three of these, and the issue, which is really important for southern New England, is now placed at number four above the line, with an indication that it will, in fact, be a de facto below-the-line issue. We need to gather the information and prepare ourselves for an action that gives some insulation between the two segments of the scallop fishery. They're incompatible as the in the current construction of it. So for that reason, I'm going to have to oppose this motion. I don't want to, but I can't support it with the consideration of the LAGC IFQ fishery placed as number four, but de facto below the line. That I cannot support. Thank you.
Just one comment. I mean, the discussion that we had at the executive committee meeting said four was going to be the limit. I mean, it says realistically only three to four. So I'm not sure that it putting it forth de facto puts it below the line. We're just going to get some clarification from staff on that.
David, I just want to make sure you're clear. I think the adjustment that Mary Beth made is moving the issue that you have of concern, the yellowtail ACL for the southern ruling. That's actually number two now, which would be address the sub-ACLs of yellowtail flounder. We can make it more specific to say address, as it is in the priority list, address sub-ACL of yellowtail flounder for the LAGC trawl fishery. That it would be number two.
Dave.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, I do appreciate that fact, and it's, that part of it is fine. But there were a number of other issues that that need to be addressed, and I was hopeful that performance review workshop or even, if Mary Beth said, just task the PDT with a review, a performance review. It doesn't have to be a workshop. That format isn't necessary. But we need to be looking at the other issues that are listed under Amendment 17, number 2, under Sea Scallops on the below the line. We need to look at some of these other issues and determine which ones are a problem and look at them for action the following year. I don't see that as being something that would occupy a lot of time. So I'd want to make sure it doesn't have to be a workshop. I think Mary Beth was right there. It doesn't have to be a workshop, but we've got to at least task the PDT with evaluating the whole list of problems and seeing which ones are actually problems, which ones we can deal with, which ones we have to deal with in the future.
Mary Beth.
And I don't disagree with that. And if you read number three, as it's currently listed here, it says after framework 24 is submitted. And so in my mind, that is why it's number four, because that's, you know, the timing of when it will occur. And I agree with you that it should be a process, in my mind, of having the PDT bring forward information. We could identify issues and then plan for a workshop and what action plan we would want to flow from that. So I don't see it as being below the line. I see it as listed here after Framework 24, and I'm not trying to minimize the importance of moving forward to address those issues and have a review.
Okay. I won't say I'm happy with it, but with that clarification, I think we can move forward. Thank you.
Anyone else? Terry.
Perhaps way out of this for you, David, is be to delete the word workshop and have performance review in there, and it would leave it wide open as to whether it was a PDT or it moved into a workshop. Is that okay with you, Mary Beth?
Tom.
I have no problem with the rearranging of these, and I think it reflects the text already in the executive committee's document, highlighting that whatever review took place would take place after the framework was out. For me, I think one of the issues, and it's on the executive committee list, it's under the line at number five, one of the issues that's come up at a number of advisory panel meetings, at a number of committee meetings, and previous council meetings, is a review and evaluation of the potential impacts of the limited access accountability measure disclaimer, which is unique in New England. It's the only fishery that has a disclaimer, and it potentially has impacts, distributional impacts, on harvesting opportunities in the scallop fishery. It's the single biggest issue for a number of general category fishermen. They've spoken at the advisory panel and committee meetings previously. The council tried to address this issue in Amendment 15, did so late, and it didn't end up being in the final regulations, but I think it's something that we need to review. And for that reason, I think it needs to be considered in the framework and thoroughly evaluated to see if there is a problem.
Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to offer a few words for the record. Apparently a letter from my boss, Director Coit, to the council didn't make it here prior to this agenda item, but she had expressed some concerns about the limited access general category fishery, the problems that it was encountering. So we appreciate the council's discussion and look forward to a review of that fishery. It pales in comparison to the large boat scallop fleet in New Bedford, but it's very important for the state of Rhode Island, so we look forward to that review. Thank you.
Anyone else on the council? Seeing no hands, I will. What's that? Iran?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going. Ron, I'm going to let you speak, but I had asked for public comment prior to this, but.
It's just a question. Ron Smoltz, Fisheries Survival Fund. I'm just wondering what action an unlimited act. Access general category trawl fishery. A question I asked previously is, can a vessel in that fishery west of 7230 land fish and scallops on the same trip? And what authority is that? Is that under the groundfish or is it under the scallop FMP that allows that?
think is ground fish. Tom or Deirdre, can you shed a little light on the question?
I think if the vessel is on a declared groundfish trip, meaning a groundfish day or sea or a sector trip, he can land groundfish. And I believe the scallop regs change that took place in, was published in July or August, says that they can also land their IFQ on that trip. Deirdre and I were huddled on this. We'll try and look it up.
I'm just wondering, I mean, that's a major part of the bycatch issue regarding the sub-ACL, how that fish is counted, and whether, in fact, it's a scallop adjustment in a framework that could address that issue. Similarly, I have another quick question on changing scallop boundary lines on George's Bank. Is that something that could be done in a scallop framework, or is that a groundfish action as well? For example, if we decide to deal with bycatch issues by adjusting the boundary lines of the current closed areas on George's Bank, is that something that could be done in the scallop framework, or does that require groundfish?
I believe that would have to be part of groundfish, Ron. Joint actions would be perfectly correct.
Rodney.
Yeah, so if I get this right, a boat west of 72 degrees that has both groundfish and scallop can land scallop and groundfish. Now, does that groundfish get count against the bycatch of the scallop industry? Well, you all tell us.
Tom's going to.
No. If a guy's on a declared groundfish trip, it counts against the groundfish ACLs. And we can monitor that through VMS. If the guy is not on a declared groundfish trip, then he can't land groundfish, and it would count against the scallop. And this is something this is something the regional office has been wrestling with ACL tracking for this year.
Anyone else on the council? Okay, I'll call the question on the motion to amend. All those in favor so indicate. 16 in favor. Opposed? Abstention? 16-01. The motion carries. We're now on the main motion as amended. Jim.
Yes, I'm not going to offer a motion to amend, but I'm going to be voting against this suite of priorities. I don't think we should be devoting any time to Amendment 18 at this point. We should be focusing on getting as much fish on the table as possible. We have been micromanaging this fisheries and trying to socially engineer it for years, and it has failed. I believe that central planning and social engineering or micromanaging will fail going forward also. We have to allow this industry to right-size itself to the available resources, and that will always be a fluid situation. We will never get it right in such a dynamic environment. This industry, as in any other industry, has to be allowed to evolve and adjust to conditions. And to try to think that we can think forward enough to what those conditions are likely to be is just not going to happen, and we cause more problems. So this fisheries, if we do this, will continue to be a financial disaster going forward in one form or another. So I'm going to just, rather than offer an amendment that I know will fail, I'm just going to vote against the suite of measures. Thank you.
Frank Brown.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad that Bill Grenzer was here to give some of the report from the advisors, but I'm in a little odd position here because the RAP is going to give me a report this afternoon on the groundfish priorities and what they saw, and I don't think there's anybody here from the RAP, but there could be, to give it now. So I just want to give a few of what they had to say. I was not at the meeting, but I think the council should be aware. We asked the advisors to comment on this, and they're going to be giving the report after we already voted. So it looks like they had several recommendations, and some of them agreed with the groundfish advisors. Number one, the members did not feel that the recreational issues should be the lowest priority, and the groundfish committee recommended moving them above the line. I think that refers to the MREP data coming out. There was discussion. The members recommended adding to the priorities the development of a mechanism to allow transfer of catch quota between recreational and commercial fisheries. I think that Bill mentioned earlier. The RAP also supported council pursuing an action to modify the herring access areas. And the RAP members discussed, and I'm going to paraphrase because it's pretty lengthy here, the area in question for the southern codfish area, the winter fishery south of Block Island is what they've made some recommendations on and said the council should be looking at that under their priorities. And I think those are the four priorities that they listed. Thank you.
Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim raised an interesting issue that I've heard talked at away from the table on several occasions, and I've started to come to view Amendment 18 as a horse out of the barn and disappearing over the hill type situation. Groundfish management has been shaped in fits and starts. Books have been written about it. It's been shaped by lawsuits, by changes in federal law, by unexpected changes in stock status, witness yellowtail and the impending change in Gulf of Maine cod. I'm starting to become concerned that this visioning project and potential caps on accumulation caps and so on is just, it's a lot of work too late, and groundfish is going to continue to evolve based on things that in some cases are outside of the council's control. I would also suggest that some of the elements of that amendment may crash headlong into maximum CPUE policies or alternatives as they develop at the Habitat Committee. So I'm developing some concerns over that. Like Jim, I'm not going to offer a motion to amend at this point, but I'll put those comments on the record. Thank you.
Dave Gaethel, then Dave Preble.
Yes, I'd like to offer a motion to amend to add to the whiting where it says after completion to add upon completion prepare an amendment for limited entry to the whiting fishery. On whiting it says continue amendment to set ACLs and AMs and specs 2012 to 2014, March 2012 completion. So, and then add after completion, prepare an amendment for limited entry to the whiting fishery.
Do we have a second to that motion? Dr. Pierce, second. Discussion. Terry.
Yeah, question for Chris. Should this amendment move ahead and with the whiting amendment, the ACL and AM inspect process being completed in March, what would fall below the line with the staffing issues? I guess what I'm asking is, You certainly have got staff budgeted to do something else after the completion of the current whiting action. Which one of our other actions would fall below the line if this amendment was to move ahead?
Terry, I can't answer that question at this point. We haven't really figured out where the staff would go in terms of some of these priorities. I think we would have to revisit this discussion a little bit after we have some time to do some staff planning. It's, in my mind, it's not out of the question
that we would be able to do this, but I just can't be, I can't give you a real definitive answer right now.
Well, I mean, certainly sympathetic and supportive of this amendment, but I'm concerned that we do not do again what we normally do, is change our priorities at every meeting between now and next spring.
Yeah.
And we've got a pretty heavy workload as it is.
There is an issue in the sense that it's not just the council that's putting forward this priority list or the suggestion from the executive committee. This list has also come forward with some input from the NRCC and the regional office and the science center. We did not, in those meetings, we did not discuss the possibility of going forward with a Whiting Limited Access Amendment. So we would need to discuss that with some of our partners.
Okay, Dave.
I understand and certainly sympathetic. I mean, if you want me to remove something, I'll cheerfully do it. But, you know, the entire time I've been on this council, this is the only fishery left, the major fishery we have that's open access. In developing the ACLs and AMs, it's become, you know, pretty apparent that this is difficult to do with an open access fishery when you don't know who the players are or who the players potentially can be. And this fishery is vitally important to a number of people that have been displaced by the social engineering in groundfish. And, you know, they need this fishery. And if people keep entering it and it closes prematurely, they basically have nothing left to do. So, you know, while I'm sympathetic to the workload issues, you know, I have to state for the record that this is important to a lot of people, and I think it's well past the time to move ahead.
I was just a quick note. I was discussing with Chris in terms of what the staffing requirement would be at the front end of starting this amendment, and it's certainly not as time intensive at the front end, just getting things organized and started, as it would be later on. But Rodney? Okay.
While I get the mic, one other thing. I'm very sympathetic to the whiting industry. The advisors have been asking for this for several years. Every time they come up, we have an advisory meeting. That's what they ask for, is limited entry.
Dave, probably you had your hand up. Was it on another subject, or was it? Okay. Dr. Pierce.
Well, I'll lend my support to David Gethel's motion. It makes a great deal of sense. Indeed, through groundfish management, we've had a rather dramatic impact on the groundfish fishery, and indeed many vessels are turning to whiting as an alternative, because their allocations of groundfish are relatively low, where they have a choke species that prevents them from taking their other allocations of groundfish. So this is a long outstanding issue. It needs to be addressed, and now is the time before too many more years pass, and we find ourselves in a difficult situation, even more difficult now, relative to effort that is in the whiting fishery and that is shifting to the whiting fishery to the detriment of those individuals who have been the historical participants.
Other council comments? Glenn.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. We're facing a similar situation with shrimp. There's a few fisheries that these groundfish boats can do, the ones that have a lower allocation and ones that have a higher allocation. But for some of us, we need these alternative fisheries. And I don't go whiting fishing, but I understand the concept. And as I said, we're facing the same thing with shrimp. So I think the time has come to do this. Thank you.
Anyone else? I'll call the question on the motion to amend. All those in favor, so indicate. Sixteen in favor. Opposed? Abstention? One. 16-01. Back on the main motion as amended. Dave Preble.
Then Laura.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to add my agreement with Jim Odlin and Mark Gibson on the Amendment 18 issue. We're at the point now where I don't want to deny it's going out to scoping. It's ready to go, and it would be good to get the public input. But the issue here, Jim stated it exactly right when he said that the industry will evolve. And what we're trying to do with this is to create an industry, and I've always been an evolutionist rather than a creationist anyway. And if we allow it to evolve, it will reach an equilibrium where it's at its most efficient as an industry. We've had a third of a century of micromanaging, and it was a disaster. So I just would like to think that while Amendment 18 is technically above the line, that it once it comes back from scoping, that we don't spend a lot of time on it. I'm not going to oppose the motion, but I agree with Jim completely on what he said.
Laura?
I was unable to attend the entire day of the Groundfish Committee meeting, so Terry, I just wondered if you could speak a little bit as to why the committee chose to not adopt the advisory panel recommendations, because in reviewing the sector workshop feedback, it seems that what the advisory panel put up there was really basically what we heard from the sectors. Of particular concern is that in the priority list that we're putting in front of the council, we're tying opening the closed areas and the rolling closures to the omnibus habitat amendment, and I heard a little bit yesterday that that's quite an unwieldy document that's already taken 9 years. So I do prefer the verbiage in the advisory panel of not tying it to that amendment. But just in general, could you offer a little words of wisdom there about why we didn't adopt the advisory panel list? Thank you.
I don't know if there'll be words of wisdom, but it'll be my recollection at the end of a very long day, the committee looked at the priorities and looked at the executive committee's recommendations. A motion was made that was similar to the advisors, and then we got wrapped around the axle with which one was number one, two, or three. In order to move things along, the committee finally decided upon putting the four of the most important ones and considered that the framework action to respond to the sector workshop would include many of the individual items that the advisors recommended as a catch-all. So, you know, supporting the work with the habitat for opening up the closed areas was a major priority. The framework for to address the sector workshop was a priority, and the framework for the specs for the nine stocks, they're having new assessment, was a priority, and then there was Amendment 18.
I also think that a number of the issues that the AP wanted to see addressed do fall under the framework action for as an output from the sector workshop. So I think that a number of those will be addressed there. Further comments? Laura?
Is there any concern, though, that the way that that's worded is quite general? Is there any concern in terms of thinking about staffing on the council side that we know actually what's going to be addressed because it is such general verbiage?
Well, I think from the staffing, there has been discussion at the staff level and at the executive committee level of splitting up some of the staff and having them work on several of these items simultaneously, moving them forward. There are some issues just because of timing of information that we're getting, like we're finishing up now, Framework 47, hopefully after this afternoon, and then we have some other things that will fall in line, but We have already looked at what the staffing requirements will be for these, and think that by having several things worked on at the same time, it can get, it will get done. Further comments? Dave Gaethel.
I probably shouldn't, but I'm a little concerned with some of the comments that have been made this morning. I mean, if what kind of message are we sending to the public if we say, well, we're going to work on Amendment 18, but we really don't care about it. We don't think we should be working on it. I think if people want to put, you know, want to have a motion to remove it, then we should put it up there and have a motion, and if it passes, it passes. If it fails, it fails. And however it goes on, from there on, we ought to just do it. Because every single meeting, whether it's the Groundfish Committee or the full council for the last 4 months, we have gone back and forth on Amendment 18. And, you know, I think it really sends a poor message to the public when we say, yeah, we're going to go out and scope for an amendment, but most of us don't care about it, and we don't want to do it. And we're only doing it because you're making us do it. I think that's a bad precedent to set. So I would suggest to the people that have commented that they don't want to do Amendment 18, if they don't want to do it, put a motion up there to remove it. And if it passes, then we won't do it. If it fails, then we'll do it and we'll start talking about it.
Mary Beth.
Well, I'm not going to make a motion to remove Amendment 18, but I think I will make a motion that we replace the groundfish priorities as listed in the straw man from the Executive Committee with those as recommended by the Groundfish Advisory Panel. I have a list of them. It's kind of long. I can provide that to Karen or if people think this is sufficient. Does everybody have a copy of the priorities as moved by the Groundfish Advisory Panel?
Mary Beth, are you trying to find?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have found it under our groundfish meeting materials for this afternoon. It is document four, the groundfish advisory motions from November 1st, 2011. And it is motion number 16. The groundfish advisory panel recommends as council priorities in order of importance, and it lists eight priorities, which I'll provide that to Karen. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I get a second, I'd provide some rationale.
We have a second for that? Tom? Mary Beth?
I agree with the comments that Laura had just made. You know, we did do a two-day workshop and listen to the sectors and what the needs are for really making this major change in the fishery work for fishermen. We had really a lot of positive comments and a lot of issues that were on the table of what we can do to make it work better. And I think that should be our focus in the coming year is to make the current program work and function for the industry. The advisory panel spent a good amount of time. This was a unanimous motion, and I think this is the direction we should be moving in.
Okay, I have Pat and Dave Gaithel.
I'm going to oppose the motion. I think, frankly, it's just disruptive at this point, and as Rip pointed out, really, these, for the most part, are included in the priorities that have been identified. Amendment 18 is there. The Habitat Omnibus Amendment is a more comprehensive way to look at closed areas than looking at it through the priorities as identified in the AP recommendations. And I think, frankly, it's, you know, intended to get to the same end. It's just saying we're going to do this through the Habitat Amendment. And then, as Rip pointed out, the sector workshop includes several of the other items that are in there. I think that at this point in the process, we've identified the highest priorities through the last council meeting, through the executive committee, through discussions with the committee and the advisors, and that the priorities as currently identified in the list of are a clearer way actually to move forward on some of these issues.
Dave Gaithel.
Well, basically, I agree with everything Pat just said, so I'll keep it short. I'll just add one other thing. I mean, basically, this moves Amendment 18 to number 8, which means it moves it to off the list. And, you know, I understand there's a number of people here that don't think Amendment 18 is important, but there are a number of us that think it's absolutely vitally important. And I don't want to see it off the list, de facto or otherwise.
Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I would oppose the motion that's on the board right now for all the reasons that Pat said. And as far as the Amendment 18 is concerned, I would not be in favor of putting it below the line at this point because it includes accumulation caps, which I would like to see some discussion of, and I'll be interested to see what comes back from the scoping document. I'll never be in favor of engineering a fleet according to somebody's image of what it should be. So that part of it for fleet diversity I would oppose. But Amendment 18 also includes accumulation caps, and I'm really not ready to let that one go at this point. But on the other hand, Mary Beth had us make a list of priorities within the four sea scallop things. So what I see my point here as being is not to eliminate Amendment 18, but to put it at the bottom of the four that are up there. That was my only point. I do want to see what the public comes back with in terms of accumulation caps, because I have not decided yet on that issue, and my sense of it is that is an important point. It's the visioning thing and trying to create a fleet that abides by somebody's vision of what it should be that I oppose. Then I would oppose this as well. Thank you.
Frank Blount.
My concerns have been addressed.
Dr. Pierce.
Yes, I'll oppose the motion. The Groundfish Committee debated these issues at length at our last Groundfish Committee meeting, and we offered up to this council a set of above-the-line tasks, issues to be addressed that is reflected in the main motion. So I would not want to adopt this, which basically counteracts the Groundfish Committee motion and, in particular, puts Amendment 18 beyond the horizon and on another planet, as far as I'm concerned. And that's completely inappropriate.
Sally?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, am going to oppose this motion. I would say that contrary to some comments that have been made, the committee did, in fact, take the advisory panel's advice. We did not take it wholesale. We took it, we worked with it, we worked it over, and came up with a recommendation that was then worked over again by the executive committee and then given back here. So rather than going back and starting from square one, I would say that we need to be considering the underlying motion, which represents the work of the advisory panel and all the committees that have looked at this as well. So for that reason, I'm going to oppose this motion. Thank you.
Tom Dempsey.
Thank you. I support this motion because for the reasons that some people have outlined before, the need for clarity. I think the advisory panel had a long discussion about the fact that we need multiple actions this year. We need to set the ACLs, we need to address monitoring, and we need to address closed areas. So already, beyond essentially two actions and a big chunk of analysis working with other technical staff, I think we do need to clarify for all the reasons that were said before what we're doing first. And we need, in my mind, to do those things first, and we need to pour all of our resources into those issues. And that's why I support this motion.
Mark Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I support the motion. Jim spoke earlier to the evolution that's taken place. I think I likened it to a horse out of the barn and going over the hill. And I just don't, and based on the comments I heard at the sector evaluation workshop about the need for consistency, they had 1 year under their belt, they're learning the system, the letters that have come in, it seems to me that I don't see how we're going to back up and change and reverse that evolution and put a genie back in the bottle based on something we get out of Addendum 18 scoping. And I also wanted to comment on this. This discussion started yesterday just before we were going to break about the entanglement of the Groundfish Committee with the Habitat Committee, and I think Pat spoke to this in her opposition that the Habitat Committee was a better place to resolve the issue of the closures. I take a different view. I think, in fact, if the Groundfish Committee deals with this right up front and the council agrees that those closures should be eliminated, that in effect gives the Habitat Committee an open chessboard to work with in terms of configuring their alternatives, such as maximum CPUE alternatives and so on. If the council doesn't agree with elimination of rolling closures, then they have a restricted chessboard to work with. So I think that issue should be decided right up front so that the Habitat Committee knows what kind of game board they have to work with and how their pieces can move or not move. Thank you.
Terry Stockwell.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the motion, Mary Beth. I will point out, though, that the only issue on the advisors list that is not included from the executive committee is number four, and the options to move the A's between the scallop and groundfish fleets and the commercial and rec fleets. I'm not sure whether that would need to be a joint action with scallops or not. But what I want to reflect upon is some of the discussion that we had at the executive committee that hasn't come out here today in terms of priorities of moving ahead with groundfish, and that is to move following, if we get through Framework 47 today and it gets out the door, I mean, the high priority is going to be working on the closed areas and also the sector workshop framework. Following by that, framework for the specs and then from my perspective, following that Amendment 18, I'm not sure where it's going to go, but I appreciate the GAP's recommendations and I don't know whether I agree or disagree with them.
Chris Kellogg.
Following on what Terry just said, one way to possibly resolve this these differences is simply to prioritize the items that have been provided by the executive committee, and you will probably accomplish the same task except for the one item that Terry mentioned that might require a joint scallop action.
Rodney.
I agree with Mark Gibson. We saw the presentation yesterday about the closed areas. One in particularly that I know was a good groundfish area. It's been closed for years, and it's doing nobody any good for habitat. It's just a broad brush approach to closing an area. It's become a sour bottom, and it's doing nobody any good. So we've got to get the fleet in there. And I also agree with the if you get the fleet where they can increase their CPU, that's going to be a big effort on habitat. They're going to be less bottom time swept, and it's going to be more efficient for the fleet. So for those reasons, I agree. And I did say, I made a comment yesterday about Mr. Preble, that he's our new Moses. He's getting us out of the desert. We've been in the desert for so many years, 9 years in the Habitat Committee, and he's going to lead us out of there. So,
are you going to part the seas?
Thank you, Rodney. I feel as old as Moses. I know that.
Laura?
Chris, the concern, though, that I have when you say that if we prioritize these four that are currently on the management priorities, we're still tying the opening of the closed areas to the habitat amendment, correct?
Yes, we are, but I'm not sure that you can get away from tying those two together. The other thing we should clarify is the executive committee and the staff feel we can get these all done. So it's some of these things would be done in parallel to do them more efficiently. You could express what your chief concerns are, but I don't see any conflict. In a sense, in terms of the items from the groundfish advisors and what's on the executive committee recommendation list.
Or?
So you're saying that we probably couldn't, as a groundfish committee ourselves, open the closed areas or make changes without the habitat committee?
Yeah, I think you need a joint action there.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Following the last few minutes' conversation, I have a motion to substitute. And that's going to be to go back to the original list. And by priority, priority number one would be to coordinate the action on the Habitat Omnibus Amendment for modifications of the closed areas. Priority two would be the prepare the framework on the sector's lessons learned. Priority three would be prepare a framework to respond to the new assessment information for nine stocks. Priority four would be option four on the groundfish advisors' recommendations, develop options to move unused days between the scallop fleets and the groundfish and commercial recreational fleets. And priority five would be Amendment 18.
We're going to have to get that up there. You lost me on that one. Let's see if we get a second, and I just I'm going to make a comment on it. Dave Preble, you're seconding. Your item number four is in addition to what was on the list.
That is correct.
And apparently that's going to take a joint action between scallops and groundfish. Is there something you want to suggest that gets dropped off of scallops to in order to accomplish this? Because we're, you know, I mean, part of the premise of what we put up here was, that, you know, from staff time, whether it's under scallops or groundfish, we were pretty well maxed out. So I don't know if you have any options for that.
I wished I could pull a rabbit out of the hat, but no, Mr. Chairman. I been listening to a number of the comments and reflecting upon the number of correspondences I've received over the last couple of weeks. We've got some big problems facing us in groundfish in this next year with codfish. We've got an industry that's just, you know, that's hanging on by the fingertips. I think we need to do everything we can to keep the industry working. And this list and this priority would address all the issues that have been prioritized. I wished I could feel better about them. Not putting Amendment 18 on the bottom, but there are a number of the fleet diversity measures that will be addressed by the actions that are taken in the frameworks to address sector workshops and how we respond to the cod issue.
Okay, and just fair warning, we're at the end of changes on this one. We're going to have to resolve this and then get back to the main motion as substituted, amended, et cetera, in order for other changes. Comments? Sally?
Just clarification. So number two is actually bullet number three from the executive committee, right? So it's response to the sector workshop.
That is correct.
All right.
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a point of question to Terry, too. Does that mean it eliminates some of the other ones, like the increased rollover percentage?
No, those from all the let me borrow this here. All the recommendations from the groundfish advisory panel would be 5, 6, and 7 would be, from my perspective, be included in number two up here.
Okay. Thank you.
Further comment, Dave Gaethel, and Pat.
I mean, yeah, I'd like to do all these things, but I don't think realistically we can. So I'm going to have to oppose the motion just because I don't think it's realistic. And that's unfortunate. I mean, if the makers wanted to remove something else, say remove monkfish and free up staff to, you know, discontinue work on the monkfish amendment, and that would free up a staff person, then maybe I could support this. But we just don't have enough people to do. I mean, somebody's going to have to work on that option to move ace between scallops and groundfish. That's at least two people are going to be working on that because it's in two different plans. Amendment 18 is somebody by themselves, and the other three are probably somebody by themselves. I just don't see that all this can be done as we're currently doing things. And I think that what that means is that some of them are just not going to get worked on at all. And I'd rather be honest with people up front and tell them what's going to get worked on.
Pat?
Thanks. David made most of my points. I think this is basically the executive committee list with one pretty big addition. And so if you can't add something without taking things off, and unless I know what we're taking off, I can't support the motion.
Further comment? Tom?
I think the other, and I understand Pat's point, but I do think that the other difference between what Terry's tried to do here and the original motion from the executive committee or the proposal is that this is ranked. It's demonstrating that we've had a discussion and we've prioritized these things about based on what needs to get done, and we've signaled to the industry and other stakeholders that this is the order that we're going to take these things in. And I think it's the right order. I'm going to support the motion for that reason, and I think that's a substantial, to be honest, a substantial improvement over the proposal earlier, which doesn't make that signal clear to everybody who's who's invested in the industry.
Anyone else? Okay, I will call a motion, call a question on the motion to substitute. All those in favor, so indicate. Eleven in favor, opposed. Five opposed. So it's 11-5-0. The motion carries. Main motion. Okay, we're back on the main motion as amended. Yeah. Further discussion. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a couple of questions. We have listed ecosystem-based management, and we would take the first step towards the beginning of that process by establishing goals and objectives. And we have the SBRM amendment, which was described by Pat as narrowly focused. And so my question is, what is the vision here? Would we be creating two new committees? Is that what these two priorities reflect?
Well, the idea was that eventually we would create a new, I say eventually, if this passes, we would do an ecosystem-based management committee. The standard bycatch amendment, the service is taking the lead on that, and likely that would just come back to the council as a whole, committee of the whole on that.
Thank you for that clarification. Because when we had our initial discussion in September, one of the things that I had raised at that time was the importance of the council becoming more engaged in the specifics of the observer program. When you look at the list from the Groundfish Advisory Panel, number three on their list was develop a cost-effective sector monitoring plan. And we also hear a lot of talk about fleet diversity. And I think everybody's pretty aware that, you know, one of the biggest barriers that we currently have in the plan for fleet diversity is the cost of the monitoring program that we've now got, you know, an extra year of reprieve, which we all appreciate. But I think the industry is going to need to pick up this cost now in 2013. We need to be planning something for that. And when I saw the follow-ups from September, I spoke with Paul Howard briefly, and his description to me, because I didn't think it really reflected my thoughts, was that it would be something that he thought appropriately rolled into the SBRM amendment, that a committee would be reviewing the observer program and some of the parts and pieces and who's responsible for paying what and what the roles are for the industry and the agency. And Pat's clearly shaking her head, and she already said that this reflection of this priority was to be narrowly focused. So that's not the discussion I had with Paul, and quite frankly, all those comments I made in September are not contained in the priorities at all. And I'm wondering if the executive committee even talked about it.
I don't recall the executive committee discussing it. We had the discussion really at the NRCC meeting when we talked about priorities there. And the nature of the discussion was that we had two choices. One, we could have a very narrowly focused one issue, very straightforward action that we took the lead on, that the agency took the lead on, and therefore you did not need to use very much of council staff time, or it could be added as a priority and something else would have to come off. And so there was just no agreement on removing something else, and so we ended up with this narrowly focused amendment.
Mary Beth, your question was there discussion on the broader issue of the at-sea monitoring issue that keeps coming up? I think this is purely a response to the lawsuit on the standard bycatch issue. The other one should come up as one of, I mean, if you look at the list of things that came out of the sector workshop, dealing with monitoring costs is one of those. So, I mean, that should be something that comes up under that item on priorities under groundfish.
I understand what you're saying, and I certainly don't have, as far as the process for the SBRM, if that's the approach, I'm fine with that, because, as you say, that can be a very specific item. I was just a feedback that I had gotten from Paul was where he thought that this was a place to more, to fold in that discussion. It, whether it is or not, I don't really care one way or the other, I guess. But and I did also note, from the advisory panel list, that would be something for the Groundfish Committee to address. But their list is quite long, and really what I was talking about was a much broader discussion. I mean, we're going to come back next year and have to make some hard decisions about observer coverage levels in the herring fishery. Well, herring fishery can't afford it any more than groundfish fishery can afford it. We have a broad need for observer coverage across all of our FMPs, particularly with the new ACL-AM structure that we're working under. And so these needs are going to be increasing. And we have not taken a hands-on approach to the observer program in the Northeast for a variety of reasons. And in other regions, they certainly have. And they've been clear on identifying who's responsible for what under these programs. And I just think that we need to have a process that's broader in scope. I mean, clearly, groundfish is the most important issue as far as monitoring costs that we have on the table. We know that data is coming. But it is something that needs to be addressed across all of our FMPs. And so that was where I was going. I'm not, going to make a motion. I think that if perhaps our first step is underground fish and everyone wants to start there, maybe that's okay. But I just would like to remind everybody that it is a broader issue, and it impacts all fisheries in the region.
Anyone else? Dave Gaten?
Yeah. In light of the last vote, I still think we have too much here, so I'm going to make a motion to discontinue work on Monkfish Amendment 6. If I get a second, I'll give a rationale.
Is there a second? Peter Ken.
Okay, the rationale is basically, that would free up a staff person to work on some of the items we just identified. That's number one. And number two is that Monkfish really isn't broken at the moment, so it could wait a year or two to be fixed. And it appears that people think that some of these other things really are broken. And we only have so many staff, and we only have so much time. And so that's the only way I could see forward at the moment.
While I'm sympathetic to some of the issues you've presented, David, it's not quite as simple as a staff person. What you're talking about is PDTs and PDT work, and shifting one staff person will not enable the groundfish PDT to do substantially more work, and may have very little impact. So I, while I'm sympathetic to why you want to do this, perhaps it's not going to change the real workload problem under groundfish.
Well, that's a point well taken, and I hadn't considered the PDT aspect. But I'm still waiting to hear what are we going to do. I mean, there's more up there than the groundfish people can do. So do you have even a remote idea of how you're going to proceed if this passes? Or
I'd have to echo Pat's comment. It's simply not possible to do all those priorities. We don't think so in the course of the year. So whatever's on the bottom doesn't get done, or perhaps the bottom two things might or might not get done.
Well, with that being said, with the seconder's concurrence, I'll withdraw my motion on monkfish. But I do plan to vote against the entire package then, because the things that are on the bottom are things that are very important.
Okay, without objection, motion's removed. Withdrawn. Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, on the main motion, if it passes, my understanding would be that the scoping on the amendment to consider fleet diversity, accumulation caps, consolidation issues, that the scoping process would not continue, it would end. Is that a correct interpretation of what would happen with the passage of the motion?
I'm going to say that I think that the most realistic response to your question will be that at the next executive committee meeting, we'll have to look at staffing requirements and look at what the actual, the priorities are, and attempt to figure out, how we fit all of those in, and which will sort of lag behind, because the way we had done it anyway, there were the four items that were there. Some might work, be going ahead at the same time, and others would have waited until completion of something. So I think we'll just have to look at that. Further comment? I'll call a question on the main motion as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have maybe some possible adjustments to what you have for monkfish before we vote on the final amendment. Amendment 6 is going to have a protracted timeline, especially if there's a referendum required. And in the committee meeting a couple of weeks ago, the committee discussed the possibility that it may be necessary to initiate a separate action to deal with some possibly emerging issues in the monkfish fishery. One is the petition for listing Atlantic sturgeon. That may be something we have to deal with on a faster timeline than would be allowed in Amendment 6. And also there's an issue of full utilization of the ACT, especially in the northern management area, which may result in the desirability of making some adjustments to the current management regime in order to optimize the yield there. And in doing that, we could also deal with the conversion factor issue that we discussed at the September Council meeting. So while none of this is hard and fast at this point, particularly the Atlantic sturgeon issue, I would just like to add a motion. Move to add to the monkfish priorities a contingency for an action separate from Amendment 6 that would address Atlantic sturgeon mortality and or full utilization of monkfish catch targets.
And is your intent with this that if there were some federal action on sturgeon, that this would take priority over Amendment 6? I mean, I would think we would almost be forced to do it. I'm not sure we even have to put it up there. I think by law we will be required to do something on that.
for sturgeon that would be the case, but there was some opinion voiced at the committee meeting that making adjustments to the current management regime to increase the yield, especially in the northern management area, would be highly desirable on a shorter timeline than the 4 or 5 years it would take to implement Amendment 6 Amendment 6 included catch shares. So.
I'm just trying to understand that the when you say the contingency for it, it seems to me that we're talking sort of two different avenues there. One would be mandated by law. The other is something that we would initiate an action to do some other changes to monkfish management.
That's correct.
Comments? Oh, did we got a second on that? Seconded by Sally McGee. Discussion. Pat.
Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit too with the two different things in the same motion. I think I agree that it's a good idea to be transparent about the potential for needing to do something on sturgeon, and so having that be part of our priorities and our discussions. But then on the second part of it, it seems to me that's a little more along the lines of what we typically tend to do, which is continue to take these short actions and not deal with a long-term approach to fixing these fisheries. And so I've got a problem because I don't want to vote against the sturgeon part of it, but I do want to vote against the second part of it.
Terry, then Jim.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mark, did the Monkfish Committee talk about the harbor porpoise consequence areas and what impact that might have on the fishery in years to come?
This is in regard to the Category H permits?
No, this is in regard to the harbor porpoise take reduction plan and the PBR being quite high last year, and the potential for two large areas to be closed down for during the fall of the year, starting 2012.
No, we didn't discuss that. We did not discuss that at the committee meeting.
Jim.
Yeah, it would seem to me that anything in this motion is really already built into Amendment 6. Well, you know, the sturgeon thing we'll have to do by law. The adjustments to finding ways to catch OI can be done with Amendment 6, and you may make the decision, we don't want to develop a system that's going to cause us to go out to referendum because it's going to take 5 years. So we may want to say, okay, right now we want Amendment 6 to be something that's short of going out to a referendum, but will still increase the catch in OI. So I think we have everything we need to work with in Amendment 6, and that we don't need to get this specific in it. I think this will actually tie the committee's hands more than if we just let the Amendment 6 process move forward. And the committee and the council will decide that at some future date, whether we want to take on a system that will require a referendum, or do we want to come short of that and implement something sooner. So I think we're covered with the work we're doing.
Further discussion on the motion to amend? Call the question. All those in favor, so indicate. Two. Opposed? Fourteen. Abstention? One. 2-14-1, the motion to amend fails. We're back on the main motion as amended. Ready for the question? All those in favor, so indicate. Thirteen. Opposed. Four opposed. 13-4-0. Motion carries. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, before we leave the topic of orders of priority, and in light of the decision that was just made by the council, I'd like to offer up a motion that I think would benefit the council overall and potentially would enable us to do a number of important things, such as follow up on the sector workshop, follow up on specific issues that were of high priority, and actions that related to those particular issues identified as high priority. And that relates to concern about fleet diversity, consolidation. We speak about following through on the sector workshop as if there were almost no statements of concern or suggestions for courses of action related to dealing with fleet diversity issues. And they're there. There's a lot here. It's just not one-dimensional. It's multidimensional, and we should not forget that. Fully appreciating the fact that the council has very little staff to deal with this particular issue that is now last on the list in terms of orders of priority. Fully appreciating that. But clearly, wanting to move this issue forward as fast as we can, not to set it aside, to focus on other things, and to have us follow through on some of the previous decisions we've made, going back to 2010 about fleet diversity accumulation limits, I make this motion that I have to modify somewhat in light of the decision the council just made. And Karen has the motion. Could you put that up, Karen, please? And Karen, if you would strike the third, which is and three, get rid of the three, okay, and put an and between success and number two, the fourth line down. Okay, you still have to take off. When you go, Amendment 16, final rule, strike off, and the council decision to place development of Amendment 18 in the upper tier of priorities. Okay, subtract that. All right. My motion is, consistent with NOAA's catch-share policy to support the design, implementation, and monitoring of catch-share programs to ensure these programs have the highest likelihood of success, and two, the National Marine Fisheries Service commitment to work with the council to address the problem of individual permit holders acquiring excessive control of fishing privileges. That's in Amendment 16 final rule. The council requests NOAA Fisheries provide leadership, tactical assistance and funding to reduce administrative and organizational impediments for the development of Amendment 18 dealing with fleet diversity and consolidation issues. So that is my motion, Mr. Chairman, in order for us to draw upon the commitment already made by NOAA Fisheries and by the specific catch-share policy to help us move this important issue forward and not have it fall by the wayside for who knows how many years, since it is now on the end of the list of priorities. It's a request for assistance, a reasonable request of NOAA Fisheries.
I need to understand your intent. Is it for the council to send a letter to the service to request assistance? In some ways, if this is a revisiting of Amendment 18, it would be something that I would rule out of order because You know, it's readdressing something that we just voted on. I think it could be brought up in some fashion by someone, but they'd have to be on the prevailing side, and I believe I saw your hand on the...
This is not an intent. My intent is not to go counter to the decision the council has just made.
Mm-hmm.
This is to ask for support, again, from NOAA Fisheries to deal with an issue that NOAA Fisheries has identified as high priority for itself. And, of course, that this council has indicated in previous decisions, it's also high priority for us. But now, because of other issues of even greater priority, we're moving it to the end of the line. This will not divert any NOAA Fisheries resources from the additional, from the tasks that the council has already established now through the previous vote as higher priority. But it's, a reasonable request. And I make this motion in light of the fact that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, working with NOAA Fisheries, was able to put together a break-even analysis that I'll reference in a little while, not right now, a little while, a break-even analysis regarding the financial performance of the groundfish fishery in 2009 and 2010, a great collaborative effort with NOAA Fisheries. So we know, and I certainly know, that NOAA Fisheries is prepared to continue its leadership. So why not ask for NOAA Fisheries to demonstrate that continued leadership through work on these very critical issues that are still critical to this council and certainly are of great importance to NOAA Fisheries?
Is it your intent to leave the crafting of this to staff and circulate it to the executive committee?
The motion is clear. The specific request of NOAA Fisheries could be made even clearer by executive committee work, certainly, following up with staff input.
Is there a second to the motion? Dave Gaethel. Terry Stockwell. Oh, Gene. Excuse me.
Yeah, I just clarify. Do you mean over and above what they've already said they would do, what NOAA's already said they would? I don't understand what you're trying to get at here, that NOAA's not doing enough now and you want it to do more? I mean, is that your conclusion?
But NOAA Fisheries, as far as I know, will not put any specific effort into groundfish issues related to consolidation, excessive shares, unless they are asked to do so by this council. So this would be a request for NOAA Fisheries, reminding them of their commitments already to this particular issue and asking them to follow through with those commitments to assist the council deal with, as noted, these issues that relate to technical assistance and funding that would help reduce the impediments that this council will have to move forward to effectively address these critical issues regarding consolidation.
Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm supportive of where David's going here. I think it will allow background work to be done on this amendment while the council deals with other issues of a higher priority to us this year. I mean, I want to reiterate my rationale for moving Amendment 18 to the bottom of the list for this year only was because of the urgency of the other problems we have to work with and acknowledgement of the staff time and resources. And if this would allow the council to have a better chance to get going when we look at priorities for 2013, it would be a good thing.
Tom.
I'm supportive of the concept of asking for additional technical assistance, funding, and resources, but I don't see how this couldn't be considered a reprioritization. If we just voted through a list of priorities, and we need, and I think that we do need additional technical assistance and funding and resources to get those done, then I think that those should be allocated along with the council's priorities, stated and voted priorities, and that to go around that is, I think, essentially to reprioritize what we've just voted on. I'm fully supportive of getting more resources, more technical assistance from NOAA and the agency. Anything that they can give us obviously will be appreciated, but I do think it needs to be poured into those priorities that we've just voted on.
Sally, then Pat.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this motion is, in fact, a reprioritization of the list that we just completed. There has been so much discussion about monitoring the groundfish fishery and the resources that are needed to figure out how to do so more effectively and more cost effectively. I'm not going to support this motion because I think there are other places where additional technical support is just as important, if not more important, and the fact that this motion is contrary to the priority list that we just voted through. Thank you.
Pat.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The commitment from NOAA was to work with the council, and those words were very carefully chosen because clearly this needs to be Amendment 16 discussion needs to be something that the council has the lead on, undertakes, and is working directly with the industry and the public on. I don't think it's inappropriate to ask for assistance. We've offered assistance, and so I don't think there's any problem with that portion of it, but this doesn't allow the council to move forward. And so it's if nothing else, it's misleading in what it could potentially do. So I agree with the comments that it's sort of a way to get around the fact that we all have limited resources, and yet it's not really a way around that because the council needs to be involved in Amendment 16.
Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The motion has a lot of words in it. If we're asking the council, the agency, to carry the water for us on Amendment 18, we should just say that. But that would beg the question I think Tom was getting at, is to, if that's the case, what resources are they going to apply to that we don't think they need to support us in the priorities that we just identified? So it doesn't, in that my view of it, it doesn't make sense what we're asking for here, so I'm not in support of it.
Dave, and then I'm going to move the question.
I understand what David's trying to do. The basic problem is we only have so many PDTs and not enough time to work on everything. And, you know, we've either got to create another PDT or get some more help from somewhere. And, you know, there's a huge amount of frustration by a minority of people on this council at the moment that the inshore fleet is on the verge of extermination and nobody seems to care. And, you know, we're being squeezed from two ends. We got a lousy allocation up front, and now we've got a reemergence of a large boat fishery close to shore that's towing away people's gear at an enormous rate. And, you know, we need to examine, you call it fleet diversity, call it whatever you want, but you need to examine the effects of catch hairs on what's happening here, and the longer you stall it off, the less chance you have you're going to have anybody left to examine in the inshore area. And that's wrong. And I don't care whether we do it with this motion or how we do it, but moving for Amendment 18 to the bottom of the heap and basically giving it a kick out the door is saying to the small boat fishery, the inshore fishery, we don't care about you, we just want you gone. And that's wrong. And somebody's got to say it, and I'm saying it right now. So I'm going to support David's motion. I'm not sure it's the right way to go, but something has to be done.
Hey.
I have a bit of an advantage over all council members, I suspect, because I have been involved with NOAA Fisheries and the development, the work on the break-even analysis we got in the financial condition of the fishing fleet in 2009 and 10. I provided that report to you yesterday. Also, my agency did a Sector 10 report evaluating in great detail the financial condition of Sector 10. So I see what's happening as evidence from analyses done with NOAA Fisheries, and it is very alarming. As a consequence, this seems to be a reasonable attempt to just provide those additional resources that reflect the financial condition of the fleet responding to it, and it indeed is a very poor financial condition, not just for inshore fleet, but for offshore boats, too. So that's one of the reasons why I've made the motion. It doesn't counteract anything this council has already done. It's just, once again, a reasonable plea for additional resources and a display of leadership by NOAA Fisheries to help us grapple with this critical issue facing the New England groundfish fishery and certainly the smaller vessels.
I call the question. All those in favor of the motion so indicate. Nine in favor. Opposed? Six opposed. Abstention? One. 9-6-1. Motion carries. We will work on crafting that for you. Chris.
There is one Amendment 18 issue that I think the staff needs direction on. We had planned on going out to scoping in December, January on the amendment, and it's not clear that not doing that is going to enable us to go much more quickly on the sector amendment or on the top two priorities that council just identified under groundfish. So the question is, we need some clear direction. Should we go ahead with the Amendment 18 scoping at this point or drop it? We're just not sure that we're going to gain that much efficiency in accomplishing the other priorities.
The way that the executive committee had looked at this was that we would continue on with Amendment 18 scoping because we had already done the work to put together the document. We were pretty much ready to begin to set scoping hearing dates and locations and that kind of thing. Without objection, I will make the indication that, in fact, we should continue on with the scoping for Amendment 18 and get that document out and get public input on the question. Any major objection to us doing that? Does that answer your question, Chris?
Yes.
Okay, before we break, I wanted to make a comment because I was made aware that there were people that were dissatisfied with the process, had not had a chance to comment after the council's debate. I will take responsibility for all of that. I had asked for public comment up front and will continue to work in that process as we go forward. If there are some people who want to come and make some comments now, it will then be up to somebody on the council who was on the prevailing side of the issue to reopen it. Steve?
It does no good to ask members of the audience to comment on something when it's going to be worked on after we comment. you know, we saw how everything got changed around this morning, and then you go to the vote. You don't ask the members of the industry how they feel. I mean, it was my, you know, it was my belief we were going to go with the decisions of the Groundfish Committee for our priorities. I understand the need for all the other priorities. My big concern on Minuteman 18 is that, being from the South Shore and seeing the small boats, you know, Plymouth used to have 34 boats in 1994. Now there's probably one full-time boat and one boat that has about 17,000 pounds of fish for the year to catch. Scituate, we probably got about three active boats out of about 25. We've already seen consolidation. The reason we're asking for Amendment 18 and, you know, fleet diversity is to maintain some type of ability to stay in the industry. We sacrificed for 15 years like everybody else did, like the big boats that went offshore, and they went offshore, but they were making money creating history. We were tied to the dock because of our location and our access to the fishing grounds. All the members in our sector, we didn't go on vacations, we didn't hang out in the bar rooms, we got construction jobs, we worked part-time for friends on boats, we went lobstering, we did all these other things for the day we come back to access to fish we rebuild. You know, I keep hearing this failure of the input control system. It wasn't a failure, because all the fish we're seeing right now is there because of the input controls we had, days at sea and triple pivots and everything like that. The inshore fleet was able to make a lot of money with it. The offshore fleet, well, not so much inshore, but they made money offshore. This isn't about us against them. It's just about us being able to stay in the industry and continue on and to provide for our families. Thanks.
Good morning. Aaron Doherty, Northeast Coastal Community Sector and Penobscot East Resource Center. Just a procedural comment to start. I think that you ought to hold public comment before the votes. I think that a lot of, you know, the applause, for example, at David Gaethel's comment speaks for itself. A lot of people they felt like they had pretty important things to say prior to the vote. It doesn't carry nearly as much weight, obviously, to speak on issues that have already been voted on. So I think you need to keep that in mind for the future, both for motion to amend, to main motion, and so forth. I think that's important to get the comments up front. I'm a little concerned seeing that Amendment 18 was put down to the bottom of the list. I hear that you're still talking about going out to the public for the scoping comments. I think that you need to continue on that course. However, I'm not sure what kind of message that sends to people to say, we want to hear what you have to say in the scoping process, yet we're going to deprioritize what it is that you're concerned about. So I think you need to address that. I think you need to reconcile that problem. Amendment 18 is obviously of deep concern for a lot of people. We've discussed the merits before. I don't think we need to. You've heard my comments before. I don't think I need to rehash them again. So I'll just be brief and say that I think if you're going to go out to scoping, which I think is the right course of action considering the public's feeling on this issue, that you need to make Amendment 18 a priority. You need to act on that in the coming year. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, we'll take a 20-minute break. Let's be back just a little before 11 to start on our next item.